Hi, I'm Steve Ewan from your Vancouver province. You're lucky because you're listening to Pucked in the Head.
Spent the last 4.5 minutes watching Russell Arbuthnot dance to Flock of Seagulls. That was quite interesting. This is Jason Carello, Russell
Arbuthnot.
I feel
like I just ran a marathon.
You just danced a marathon to Flock of Seagulls. I ran so far away. That was a blast from my past. I was a going concern when that song first came out.
Man. I was conceived to that song.
Oh my goodness. That I did not need to know. It's all about too much information today.
A little TMI.
We are, in this segment, going to talk a little bit about the Whitecaps, which makes sense seeing as we are sitting in BC Place.
The home of the Vancouver Whitecaps.
And the home of a rather impressive, not surprising, but impressive 3-0 win today.
Impressive.
By the time you listen to this, 3 days ago. But a win on Sunday over the Philadelphia Union, they should beat the Union handily.
3-0 as well, I would suggest.
And even in the post game, Coach Robbo as much said he expected they should have scored more.
Correct.
Well, listen to that audio right now.
To score 3 is nice because we've only scored 8 or 9 in 10 or 11, 10 games, and I keep getting reminded of that. So to score 3 at home, it's important. You know, we need to make this a fortress at home. You know, we've got a massive game, obviously, on Wednesday against a very tough Edmonton. And we've got a derby game next week, which we always look forward to. So we needed to get off, and it was a trap game. It was a very difficult game for us, and I prepared the boys this week in, this is as difficult as matches we'll have, because we were expected to win, and there was no expectation from Philly to come. And that's no disrespect to them. You know, they're struggling at the moment to get confidence and get wins. And it was a trap game, but the boys handled it fantastically well today.
To be honest, I mean, he was being very diplomatic when he said things are not bouncing
Philadelphia's way.
They're a bad team.
They are. This is their fourth loss in a row after this game that happened 3 days ago.
By the time this goes to air on the radio, Vancouver will be hosting Edmonton, unless it's snowed out.
Hey-o. Just like last week.
Oh, my goodness. This is why Edmonton can't have nice things.
Isn't that just horrible? I mean, think about where we are today with in the middle of a run of 20-plus degree weather, beautiful sunshine. People are out in sandals and shorts and T-shirts today.
I haven't worn a jacket in 3 days.
I haven't worn pants in 3 days. I mean, shorts I've worn.
I was just going to say, we need to talk, Russell, because quite frankly.
And we've got more to come.
Your access to the media area of BC Place is in jeopardy if you don't wear some pants.
I thought I saw pants optional on that. Anyways, I digress. And then the poor folks in Edmonton, I mean, on top of living in Edmonton, they have to suffer through a snowstorm.
I would like to say I have several family members in Edmonton. They are lovely people. Maybe not the smartest in the world because they stay. But Edmonton does have a thriving theater community, a lot of art.
Anything that's inside, I'm sure Edmonton does reasonably well.
No, they suck at hockey.
Well, that should be. Well, I suppose that's inside.
At the professional level.
Yeah, but I mean, let's face it. That's an outside sport
in Edmonton.
Yeah,
well, in Edmonton, yes, it's an outside sport.
And 365 days a year, apparently, as
there
well.
We so yeah, the Whitecaps, another win. They're on top of the table in the MLS still.
Well, again.
And what do we take out of this game today?
Well, I mean, it was good to see Pedro play.
And score from the run of play.
score from the run of play. And I thought, it had been a little while since we saw Pedro actually perform at his top level, and he managed to do that today. Again, the competition was somewhat suspect, I suppose, but you can only play against the team that you're playing against,
their
right?
Their best player, though, Adu, was normally midfielder,
mm-hmm.
and normally he's not even usually a holding midfielder. He's an attacking midfielder.
Yep.
They played him at center back so that he could go head-to-head with Pedro and try to keep Pedro in check.
And it didn't really work.
It worked for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Then the Whitecaps slowly dragged that box apart.
Yeah.
And they scored three goals that they wouldn't score against other teams very often.
Probably not. But I mean, Maddox's goal, if he had that opportunity, would score one out of eight.
On the other hand, he did miss
a handful beforehand, yes.
A couple before where they were maybe gimmies.
Which is sort of typical.
It was a very athletic goal.
It was. And you know what? What I noticed on that goal, the finish was good, but really what I noticed on that finish was more or less how disguised it was. If you look at it closely, he had that ball so tight into his feet, there's no way any goalkeeper would have anticipated him actually getting a shot off from that.
And you had to feel for Sylvester, the Philadelphia goalkeeper, because he was under siege most of the night.
He was, and I thought he acquitted himself relatively
well. All three goals, he really didn't have much chance on.
Mm-hmm.
He did make a couple of good saves, although the save of the night went to our outstanding David Ousted.
Yes, definitely, without a doubt. And that was more or less the catalyst that pushed the Caps.
Which I think we have something from Robbo about that as well, don't we?
I believe we do.
Let's go to that tape.
It's an outstanding save by my big Danish goalkeeper.
Did you expect the ball to be in? Like, when the guy wasn't flagged offside, did you assume that you were going to be down?
I thought he was offside. I was going to have a shout and a scream at the fourth official, which you're not allowed to do, and if it went in. So he makes saves like that in training. You know, I'm very lucky that he's been at this club for a number of years while I've been here, and he keeps getting better and better. So I did think it was in. Great reaction save. And they're as important as Octavio scoring or Pedro scoring, and who kept his shirt on today, which is a big plus, and I was delighted with that. And Darren scoring. Those, you know, fine moments in games are really important. So outstanding. And he's happy in there because he just met Eddie Lack. So the two goalkeepers in there are talking about which one's best, I think. So we'll let them have the conversation.
So even though Ousted was not really busy in the last 70 minutes of the game, he was really the guy that woke the Caps up.
And I mean, with a save like that, it would be hard not to feel inspired.
And if I can, I'm going to try to get... I have some audio of the Southsiders chanting save of the week after that.
Save of the week, save of the month. We'll potentially save of the year.
Potentially save of the year for MLS.
Yeah.
But we're going to... Hopefully right now you're hearing some of that chant underneath our conversation, because it was definitely one of the high points for the Southsiders during the game.
And yeah, I don't want to dwell too much on Ousted, but for my money, Caps MVP so far this season.
Certainly he has been, I mean, if not him, Octavio Rivero has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro has not been the VIP this year like he was last year.
No, I would agree with that statement. I just think you look at what Ousted has done with his timely saves. Realistically, he's probably picked up 4 points for the Whitecaps alone, just in regards to his saves.
I would say
and
more.
More, sure.
There were the 1-0 win where he made several amazing saves, and they came back and scored an extra time to win the game.
Yeah.
Even in Chicago.
Orlando.
Even in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The first time they've ever scored in Chicago Stadium, they could have easily been down 2-0 in that game. So I would say that your 4 points is very, very conservative.
It is. Sure.
Not politically. But
last season I saw glimpses of it, and I mean, I thought he was one of the Caps' better players last season as well. but there certainly has been a fair share of criticism for Oosted up until this point.
And I must admit, I was among them. I didn't think that he was a big deal, really. And we're watching one of these games in the tournament at BC Place, taking place after the Whitecaps game. And there's one fellow who is literally head and shoulders taller than everyone else, and he's not afraid to throw his body around.
He's like the Division VI Kendall Waston.
You think this is Division VI?
Well, 16.
Earlier, I saw him put a knee in front of a female player on the co-ed team, and she went down. He didn't even look at her. He went straight for the ball. He's like, oh.
Well, at least the reffing has been better than what we have come accustomed to seeing in MLS matches.
Well, one of the things that the Southsiders were talking about today, did you notice I was sitting beside the Southsiders to take photos today?
I didn't notice that.
A little bit of a different position for me. But the Southsiders were all talking about how this particular referee is, if you look at him sternly as you take a player down, he'll be afraid to make the call. So we're thinking that's why the Whitecaps didn't end up with five yellow cards. Although the Union did get a red card that maybe was
somewhat questionable.
I don't know if it should have been a straight red.
Yeah, something else that Robinson commented on in the post-game press conference.
And I mean, the game was already 2-0 by that point.
Was it
3-0 already at that
point? Yeah.
You know, a larger player took down Teixeira, who is, by the way, not 3'6", as I said in a previous podcast.
It's not much bigger. But
he's 3'8", his official list. I actually got a photo after the game of him signing one of the ball girl's shirts, and the ball girl is taller than
he was
is.
Looking up to her.
He was looking up to sign her shoulder. I'm sure he's a very nice man.
Are you sure about that?
Man-child is what I was trying to say. But, man, is he fast, and can he do some magic things with the ball?
Yep, he certainly can. That was also in Edmonton was the first time that he had seen snow.
In his life. Wow.
Him and Davey Flores, the Honduran.
You posted about that?
I posted about the snow in Edmonton. I cannot recall whether or not that ended up in the article.
And that is at puckedinthehead.com. Puckedinthehead.com.
It's... Wait, what was that? What was that site again?
Puckedinthehead.com.
Entitled Wednesday, Snowy Wednesday.
So next up, the Whitecaps play Edmonton here in Vancouver.
Yeah, which is again. So the Whitecaps have had somewhat of a run of bad luck in for the Voyagers Cup, the Canadian Championship, whatever you want to call it. A couple of years ago, they were ahead 1-0 in Toronto, which the away goals obviously are worth a lot in that in this tournament. That game ended up getting
aggregate.
Yeah, that game ended up getting called due to inclement weather.
Yes.
I believe it was 56th minute or 59th minute, something like that.
Yeah, okay, I don't know if it was quite that far into the game.
I believe it was the second half.
They were worried about lightning in the stadium.
Correct. So that game ended up getting
the thing that bothered most Whitecaps fans wasn't the fact that the game was postponed, but the fact that the game started
was replayed
zero.
All
it was
yes exactly
zero
yes correct and so that and they ended up losing that game and losing the tie. Now this time around, it's an advantage for the Whitecaps to have started their first leg away, because again, depending on the result of that game, they will then know what they in fact need to do once they return home for the second leg here.
Right.
If they win, they need to salvage a tie.
Wait,
or
now
win.
Are you suggesting that Edmonton somehow conspired?
No.
To create
I'm
a
just
snowstorm?
Saying that it's slightly unfortunate for the Whitecaps, who far and away are the better team.
Well, first of all, they're an MLS franchise.
Correct. They should be able
and
to
Edmonton
win both games
not.
Without, you know, any real concern. However, Robinson was going to put a lineup out that was largely reserves and some underutilized players who are still very, very good. I mean, the Whitecaps bench is
wound up playing against Philadelphia.
Yes, and I mean the Whitecaps bench is probably one of the top three benches in MLS. Let's be honest; they have a very their depth is
Robbo has done a great unrivaled, job of bringing really. In like guys like well who we talked about on another episode when we talked about Teixeira and Earnshaw.
I completely forget where we what we were talking about.
We have digressed about 14 times. We started by talking about the Whitecaps. They should win both games of the tie against
versus Edmonton. Yeah.
And they have a game next week. Do we know who they play next week? Are we aware of the schedule?
No. Nope. Sorry. I'm all caught up against Edmonton at this point.
Between having two matches against them in the next week and one that was canceled last week, it's almost like a hockey playoff series.
It's all Edmonton all the time.
Except Edmonton's involved. So it's not like a hockey playoff series at all. Last word to you. How do the Whitecaps finish out May? They've got a huge road trip in June. Do they even? They don't even play on home pitch.
6 weeks. Certainly the points here at home are going to be huge moving forward because they're not going to be here, like I said. They have to, you know, I mean, this is a good confidence builder for them. Hopefully they don't let it get to their heads. I don't think they will because they should fully realize their competition tonight. But they're going to have to collect as many points as they possibly can here before they pack their bags and head out for an extended period of time.
In honor of our dear Mr. Maddox, we are going to play a little bit of music from his homeland.
I wish I were to stay here. I Christmas.